And it is good to be here tonight, the Lord's people. As most of you know, I took a trip out to Ohio last week to do my annual hunting. I guess they call it slaughter out there because it's not really hunting, but I did enjoy being with some of the believers out there and to see that Christians there are not a whole lot different than here. In our hunting party, there was 14 men, and the people that put us up had a basement, and it's a fairly large basement, probably 30 by 60 feet long, and has accommodations for those who are coming out to hunt, to sleep in the basement and have the bathroom. Everything is downstairs and kitchen and everything. So at noontime, everybody would gather to eat. And the lady that we stayed with always cooks up a huge pot of stew or chili or something for the men as they come in for lunch. And it was interesting because not every man in the hunting party is a Christian. And so there's an opportunity there to witness, because the people we stayed with are Christians. And one of the men who reminded the owner that don't forget to pray. And I found that interesting because even out there in that farm country where we hunted, and some of them are not Christians, realized there was a benefit in prayer. And they reminded the owner, don't forget to pray. And this was coming from a non-Christian. And so the owner had asked me to pray for the meal. And it was an opportunity to present Christ and the gospel in prayer to men who have heard the gospel and hopefully will respond to it. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts to that end. When the subject that I wanted to talk about tonight was very similar to what our brother spoke to this morning about the circumstances that we're in and how we can overcome things through the Lord in our circumstances. And this one has to deal with Psalm 68, verse 19. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily," notice that, "loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation," Selah. And like I say, even the non-believer understands there's a benefit in praying for a meal. Most don't, but some do. But the Bible specifically tells us that there are daily benefits. You know, sometimes we also forget about the benefits of the Lord. We get in circumstances which brings us to a place of discouragement, sometimes even hopelessness. And the Bible says in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The Lord promises from his word that there will be daily benefits, and that we are to remind ourselves each and every day, that's what it says, daily, about his benefits. If I were to ask you tonight, what benefit is there for you being here? And I'm sure there would be plenty of responses as to why you're here. There is a benefit for being here with God's people and with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the Bible tells us not to forget those benefits. But it can work the other way too. Remember Job? The first chapter of Job, Job loses his wealth. He loses his cattle. He loses his children. Everything is gone. Everything. And I'm sure Job was asking himself, what benefit is there of being a man of faith, a man of God, trusting God? You know, you put any one of us in a similar circumstances, if we lose our job, you wonder, what benefit is there in this? Or something tragic happens in our life. Where is the benefit in that circumstance? But the Bible tells us specifically he loadeth us daily with benefits, whether we see them or not. And so we have to go to Job and see what his response was. This should be also our response. Job knew the benefits of his life of faith. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The very first thing that Psalm 68 says, blessed be the Lord. In Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. I believe that whatever circumstance that we come upon daily, to remember the benefits by saying this first thing, as Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what comes into our life, whatever it is, the first response is to give back to God a blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what our response would be. Not to fall into a tailspin of despair and not, no hope that things are maybe never going to get better. Because we are reminded in Romans 8, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What is the hope that we have in Christians? What is the benefit of this life that we have in Christ? That no matter what we go through, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy even to be compared with what is going to come. And so there's a benefit there, isn't there? There's a benefit. We know if we look for benefits, and we always, you know, in the world that we live in, when we go for a job, what are the benefits? What is it? What is there in it for me? That's what we're always concerned about, aren't we? But I believe in the spiritual world, it's not about me, but it's about the Lord. What benefit is there, Lord, if I am to suffer today for thee? The benefit is that the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. That's a benefit, isn't it? Not only for him, but for us. Because by suffering, the benefit is the glory to come. That's a tough one to grapple with, because as we go through the struggles and trials of this world, it's easy, like the world, I'm going to deal with it by taking, I don't know what the pills are out there for, depression. I know a lot of my family is on them. Sometimes I can't make sense of what they're talking about half the time, because their minds are just jumbled up with the medication. There's no clarity of thought. has taken away the problems that they have in their life. And it's sad to see that, because it doesn't allow us to see the benefits of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for every circumstance in our life. So there is a benefit. And so that's one of the things that we do daily, isn't it? He daily loadeth us with benefits. The second thing that happens daily, in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Not once a week, once a month, once a year, whatever the time of the struggles are, but daily. And what? Follow me. That's what it means when you are to think about denying yourself. You cannot follow the Lord Jesus Christ completely and wholeheartedly if you don't deny yourself. One of the benefits in the Christian life is to deny self. Totally contrary to what the world is telling us. The world tells us to satisfy the flesh, to seek those things that are out there in the world. All those new gadgets, I gotta have one. I'm not saying that the gadgets are wrong, but if they replace Christ, you're not denying yourself. You have to deny self. Take up the cross daily. Every day we have to think about our lives before Christ. What benefit is there in this life if I deny myself? Again, there's benefit in denying self and taking up the cross, because you're following Christ. Is there anything more beneficial here in this life than following him? We either follow him, or we're going to follow what we want to do in this life. If one decides not to follow Christ daily, then it will be replaced by the worldly things. Guaranteed. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul reminded Timothy that Demas had forsaken him because he, what? Loved this present world. You see, Demas was a follower of Christ, and he was a partner with Paul. But he fell into the trap that the worldly things were more beneficial to him. He found benefit in this world. That's the way it is. When you're going after the flesh, when you follow the flesh, you will find the things in this world, in this present world, more attractive than denying self and following after Christ. There's no middle ground. The third thing we do on a daily basis is 1 Corinthians 15:31, which says, I protest by your rejoicing, this is Paul speaking, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I die daily. You know, it's one thing to take up the cross, because the cross means death, as we have heard this morning from our brother. You know, you take up that cross, it means death. But here it says to actually die. Now we must die daily. Not only do we take up the cross daily, we die daily. And there's a lot of scripture verse concerning the flesh, because the flesh is so strong. It pulls us. We struggle with it every day. And that's why it tells us to daily do these things. But the most efficient or beneficial verse to remind ourselves is Galatians 2:20, which is familiar to every one of us. I am crucified with Christ. That means you have to die. Christ died for our sins. Nevertheless, I live. You see, here's the contrast. The world doesn't know anything about this, dying to the flesh and living for Christ. They only have one option in this life, and that's living for themselves, living in the flesh. There's no such thing as dying. There's no benefit to them because they're not in Christ. But the benefit for us as Christians is to die daily, dying to the flesh. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What is the benefit of dying daily? There's a benefit. You put off the flesh, you put on Christ. I don't think there's any better benefit than to be in Christ, living by faith. But we have to put off the flesh. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's a benefit. You want more than that? I can't offer it to you. It's not here. Not in this life, that's for sure. And then we go to another daily thing that we must do. In Acts 17:11, speaking about the Bereans, it says this: these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Do we search the scriptures daily to see about these things that are written, if they're so? That's what they did. That's what the Bereans did. But I like what it says here about the Bereans, that they received the word with all readiness of mind. That's the benefit you have when you read God's word daily. You're receiving the word from the Lord himself into yourself, into your mind, into your heart. Words to live by, words to grow by each and every day. There's benefit in reading God's word. There's a benefit in dying daily. There's a benefit in taking up the cross and following Christ. Concerning the scriptures, as we read them, we can be sure and confident that the scriptures and the scriptures alone are for our benefit. One of the things that has happened in our area is they've replaced the Bible with other books and other methods. The latest thing that comes down the pike from so-called religious leaders. The scriptures are enough benefit for our life. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. You know, every time somebody writes a new book about, you know, the latest thing in Christianity, everybody's got to go out and buy the book so that they can benefit from its reading. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if they use it in place of the scriptures, where's the benefit? It's the scriptures and the scriptures alone. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, Psalm 23 says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. That's the paths that we should be going, because that's where the benefits are. As we read God's word, he leads us in paths of righteousness. Those things are right before the Lord, what we should be doing, what we should be saying and acting in this life. And for 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. What's the benefit? There's divine power given in the scriptures as you read them that pertain to what? Everything in this life. There is nothing in this life that the Bible cannot sufficiently guide us in. Everything. Through life and godliness, through the knowledge of him. Tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Benefit, isn't it? Very beneficial. And then lastly, for daily use, it says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhorting one another. There's a benefit in exhorting a brother and sister in Christ. Because in doing so, maybe you'll keep that brother or sister from erring and falling into this trap that is called being hardened by deceitfulness of sin. You know, exhort means to recommend. Present as worthy of confidence. Present as worthy of confidence. There's a benefit when we exhort a brother, because it gives him the confidence, not in what you're telling him, but the word of God. That's a benefit to our brothers and sisters. So they're not caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. An example of that is Acts 14:22. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them or recommending to them to continue in the faith. That's what exhorting means. A recommending to the brother and sister as we see them going away from Christ to come back. Exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Don't ever exhort a brother and sister the way the religious leaders are today. They exhort them that if you give to God, God will give to you back tenfold. If you give God a dollar, he'll give you back ten. That is not exhortation. It's building false hope into people. And then when they give their savings account over to the church and they're broke and penniless, they've fallen into a trap and they become discouraged and disheartened with the Christian life. But the exhortation is here to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. What's promised to us? A life of struggles, sufferings, tribulations. That I can say is an exhortation to my brothers and sisters. And there's benefit. Because if we go back to Romans 8, where it tells us, for I reckon, and that's a benefit, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. There's still some time left for a brother to come up and minister.
Okay, I promise we'll be done on time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, you younger ones, I want you to help me count. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, did you younger fellas, I'm very glad you're here. I get very encouraged, as I said before, when I see younger people. I want you to ask yourself if you know why the ladies wear head coverings, and do you know why the men don't? Would I be okay if I wore a baseball cap in the meeting? No. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in the portion that we're going to read in the first 16 verses, you count with me now, see if I'm right. There are three glories. Our brother Bob was talking about the glory of God, but there are three glories here. There are three heads mentioned, and there are two coverings. Three glories, three heads, and two coverings. Okay, now let's see if we can find them. Paul, the apostle, writing to them, says, "Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." In other words, let's follow the Lord Jesus Christ together. He says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." The ordinances he's talking about are the breaking of bread and so on. But here's where I'm trying to get at. In verse 3, he says, "But I would have you know," here's one of the heads, see if you can see it in your Bible, "that the head of every man is Christ." That's one head. "And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God." One, two, three heads. Now he's going to explain that. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, it's a symbolism. If your head, I wear a baseball cap or any other kind of cap in the meeting, my head is Christ. But the ordinances, the bread and the wine, remind us of the body and blood of Christ. It's not the body and blood of Christ that reminds us of the body and blood of Christ. So your head is Christ if you're a male. Your head is Christ, and it's a symbol, just like the bread and the cup. If you cover your head, and your head is the Lord Jesus Christ in the meeting, your head is covered. The Lord Jesus Christ is not supposed to be covered in the meeting. He's supposed to be shown and glorified. As our brother Bob said, what does it mean to glorify or to be have glory? To reveal all of his goodness. Remember when they came to take the Lord Jesus Christ away? And they say, he said to them, "Whom seek ye?" And he said, "We want Jesus of Nazareth." And the Lord Jesus said, "I am." And he revealed his glory just for a split second. And they all fell down as dead men. And then they got back up, and they came and crucified him. It's the revelation of the goodness of God. That's what glory is. You can glorify God by obeying his commandments. So if you have your head covered in the meeting, symbolically, you are covering the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why men do not wear hats in meetings, as far as Christians are concerned. And it says in verse 5, follow along, "Every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head." What's the woman's head? Let's go back to verse 3. The head of the woman is the man. Do you know that even though we're on the platform, the man really doesn't have the preeminence in the assembly? It's the Lord Jesus Christ that has the preeminence, the first place in the assembly. Even though I'm talking and you're looking at me, I'm not up here to show off. I'm here to explain God's word. I'm here to honor and glorify as much as lieth within me the Lord Jesus Christ with the help of God's Holy Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ when he's gathered in our midst. So here we have the woman with her head uncovered. I've been to some churches, and they were real Christians, too. They weren't in the assembly. But a lot of them do not cover their heads. They have left this scripture alone, and they don't know it. It's important to know why we do things. And it says, if the woman in verse 6 be not covered, let her also be shorn. If you're going to actually shame yourself, why not just cut your hair off? That's what they did in Hitler's Germany. When they captured the Jewish ladies, they would cut their hair off because they wanted to shame them. Terrible thing to do. They cut their hair off to shame them. Well, it says if a woman, it's a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. Paul the Apostle wants us to obey God. The Lord Jesus wants us to obey God. So a woman has to cover her head. Symbolically now, she's covering her glory. There's only one glory that should be seen in the assembly, and that's the glory of God, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So she's symbolically covering her glory. But now she has two coverings. Remember we said there were two coverings. Let's read on. For a man indeed ought, in verse 7, cover his head, ought not to cover his head. That would be covering the Lord Jesus. For as much as he is the image and glory of God, remember that glory? The man is the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. So the woman should be covered. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Remember Adam and Eve? Every man born today comes from his mother. She gives birth, and the man or a girl is brought into the world. But that wasn't the way it was in the beginning. Adam was first created, and then Eve. Remember? Now it's the reverse. Men come from their moms, but at first it was Adam, and woman was taken out of Adam's side for a rib, and God made it into a woman, a helpmeet for him. The man was created first, and then the woman. Okay. Now look. In verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have authority or power on her head because of the angels. Now, this is an important thing, because of the angels. Do you know, young people especially, that the angels are watching you? The Bible says so. It's because of the angels. The angels are going to school. And you are the object lesson. We are, as Christians, the object lesson. Do you know that angels can marvel? Yes, the Lord Jesus marveled. No, I have not found so much faith. No, not in Israel. So if the Lord Jesus can marvel, so can the angels. A lot of times when anybody saw an angel in the scripture, the angel had to say, don't be afraid. Fear not. But angels marvel at us. When we obey God's word, even though it's completely against the nature of man to do so, when a man gets saved, he still has the flesh, still something in him that wants to sin. When the angel sees a believer choose not to sin, he just shakes his head, I'm sure, and he says, oh, the glory of God in that person's life. Man was created lower than the angels. So when the angel sees a believer choose to obey Christ, I believe they marvel. It's an education to the angels. Because of the angels, in verse 10, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. We need each other. For in verse 12, as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. We explained that. Adam was first, then the woman was taken out of Adam, but from then on, men were born of women. Every man has a mother. So we see in verse 12, we're together. Judging yourselves, is it seemly or is it right for that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Now here's the thing, in verse 14 and verse 15, Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, that means, that word long means able to be tossed about. If a woman goes like this from side to side, her hair gets all fluffy and it goes from side to side, it tosses about. That's what long means in the Bible as far as long hair is concerned. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's why it's nice for a man to have a man's haircut. But it says it's a shame unto him. It's confusion. God is not the author of confusion. But it says if a woman have long hair, look at, here it is now, it's two things. It's both a covering and it's a glory. Now it says the woman ought to be covered, that's right. But her hair is not only her covering, it's also her glory. And how much glory, whose glory should be seen in the meeting? The Lord Jesus Christ's glory only. So her hair is a covering, but it's not enough because it's also a glory. And that's why the ladies wear head coverings. Their hair is a covering, but it's also a glory. And that glory should be covered. The woman is the glory of the man. She should be covered with her hair. And her hair is also her glory, as well as her covering. And so the glory has to be covered, so that only the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit is shown in the meeting. Isn't that something? The head covering is just as important as the emblems in that sense, because they both show the glory of God. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the teaching of thy word. We're so glad that we have it expounded unto us by thy Holy Spirit. Without thee, our Father, we would be so lost. Father, without thy ongoing teaching, we would be confused. We thank thee, Father, for giving us a heart of love for thy Son, love for thy word, and Father, an opportunity through the power of thy Holy Spirit to teach it. Part us with thy blessing. Bring us home safely, for we ask it in thy Son's precious name. Amen.